Numbers 13, verse 25. I heard a preacher say one time, I'm glad we could assemble together one more time on our way to the New Jerusalem. I like that. We're on our way home. Amen. Church is a foretaste of heaven, where all of God's people will be together. And what a blessing. It's good to be here. Years ago, I was in a service in Statesville, and two men preached that day, and both men's name was Pennell. The first man preached, and then the second man got up and preached, and he said, that man was Brother Pennell, and I'm Brother Pennell. He said, by the time you leave, you'll feel like you've been penalized. So I got to be here Sunday, and here I am again tonight, and you'll feel like you've been penalized by the time that you leave. This lady was talking to her little girl. Her little girl was sick, 3 years old, and she said, honey, do you want a soda cracker? And her little girl said, yeah, I'll take a Mountain Dew cracker. So, that's how words change meaning, isn't it? Words change meaning. If somebody would invent a Mountain Dew cracker, it'd be a mighty fine thing, as far as I'm concerned. We couldn't get Mountain Dew in Ireland for 12 years, and I'm trying to make up for it. Amen. The book of Numbers, chapter number 13, verse 25 says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land whither they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I'd like to speak from this passage for a few moments on the subject. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. This is a mighty sad chapter in the life of the nation of Israel. This passage is very familiar to Bible readers, and I didn't read the whole passage, but you know that Moses sent out 12 men, one from each tribe, to spy out the promised land, to find out about it, the cities, the inhabitants, the land, and to bring back a report to the congregation. Well, the spies return in verse 25, and they show some of the fruit that they brought back from the promised land, some figs and grapes and pomegranates. But what follows is so tragic, it's almost unbelievable. 10 of these 12 men say, it's a wonderful land, but we can't go up and possess it. There's giants there, the cities are walled, and they'll kill every one of us. We just can't do it. Joshua and Caleb completely disagree and say, well, yes, there are many inhabitants and a lot of Jebusites, Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, everywhere, the sons of Anak, they're giants. But the land is good. It flows with milk and honey. And with God's help, we can. We can possess this good land that we've been thinking about for many years. It's a mighty sad thing that these 10 spies just don't think that God's able to give them victory over their enemies. But Joshua and Caleb affirm, we are well able. Not just able, we're well able to conquer, to overcome, to possess. These 10 men say, we just can't. We can't. And I like to submit to you that can't is a bad word. Did you know the word can't is not found one time in the entire Bible? I looked it up in the concordance. It's not there. And it should not be in the vocabulary of a child of God. Every time we say, I can't, the devil says, amen. That's right, you can't. He just loves it when we roll over and play dead and act like we hadn't got any sense. Can't. Listen to these words. Edward Guest wrote these words many years ago. Can't is one of the worst words written or spoken. Doing more harm than slander or lies. By it is many a strong spirit broken, and with it many a good purpose dies. Can't is the father of feeble endeavor, the parent of terror and half-hearted work. It weakens the efforts of workers clever and makes of the taller an indolent shirk. It poisons the soul of the man with a vision. It stifles in infancy many a plan. It greets honest toiling with open derision and mocks at the hopes and dreams of a man. The word can't, it's a word none should speak without blushing. To utter it should be a symbol of shame. Ambition and courage, it always is crushing. It blights a man's purpose and shortens his aim. Hate the word with hatred deep and undying. For once it's welcomed, it will break any man. Believe that all things can be done through Christ who strengthens. And answer with confidence, not I can't, but I can. I can. Let's think for a little bit about this subject. Yes, we can. 10 of these men said, let's don't go. We can't do it. 2 of them said, let's go up at once. We can. Well, I read the sad report here. The spies brought back the news and the congregation believed the report of the 10. And they were fearful. They said, I believe you're right. We can't do it. And God was so angry with their unbelief that He said, all right, you'll never get to cross the Jordan into the promised land. All of you 20 years old and older, you'll wander around in circles in this wilderness. For every day they spied it out, I'll punish you with a year of wandering. They searched it out 40 days. You'll wander in this wilderness for 40 years. Because you didn't think that you were able, with my help, to take that land I promised your fathers and promised you. It's a mighty big insult to God when we don't believe what He says. That's what faith is anyway, taking God at His word. All these 12 men saw exactly the same thing. They all saw the same cities, the same giants, but the difference is that 10 of these men compared themselves to the giants. That's a mistake. Joshua and Caleb compared the giants to God. And compared to God, those giants were grasshoppers. That's what we should do, is instead of comparing ourselves to our problems and our giants, compare your problems to God. God promised to give them this land, but only two of the men believed it. Now Joshua and Caleb here, they knew that they couldn't do God's part. They're not so presumptuous to think that they can possess this land and drive out all the inhabitants by themselves. They're relying upon God's help. They knew they couldn't do God's part. But listen here, they knew also that God was not going to do their part. They knew they couldn't just stand around, twiddle their thumbs, and expect God to do everything. God will do His part. But He will never, ever do your part. Duty belongs to you and me. The result, the outcome, belongs to God. But duty belongs to you and me. God's not going to do your part. As long as we say, "I can't," we defeated ourselves. The giants didn't defeat it. As long as we say, "I can't," we just defeated ourselves. We forfeited. I remember the first game I ever played in Little League. It rained, and the other team didn't show up, and we won by the fact that they forfeited. That never happened but only one time, and I still remember it. We didn't play that team and beat them. They didn't show up. They just didn't show up. They just thought, well, maybe we'll get rained out. Well, it would have paid them to show up. A lot of times we just defeat ourselves. We don't even try. We don't even show up. That's why we achieve so little, sometimes nothing. Why, we don't hardly try sometimes. And therefore we miss God's best for our life. What these people missed. Why, there's only a few weeks away, they could have possessed the best land in all the world. But they didn't. They missed God's best. What did Paul say? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now that's a winning attitude right there. And he's not expressing self-confidence either. That's Christ confidence. I remember when I was in school, we had a teacher, and he said, "Believe in yourself. You can do anything. Just have confidence in yourself. And the sky's the limit. And you're the captain of your own ship and the master of your own fate." And I thought, that sounds good. Then I found out there's something 1,000 times better than that. 1,000 times better than believing in myself is believing in Christ. And realizing it's through Him. And not through me, and not through you, and not through our own power or intellect. Paul didn't say, "I can do all things." He said, "I can do all things through Christ." And there's a mighty big difference there. I'm saying this evening, we can do everything we ought to do through Christ. Now there's plenty of wet blankets around always to tell you that you can't. That's why you better get your inspiration and your direction from the Lord and from His Word. If you're always listening to people, you're not going to know which way to turn next. I'm sure if Peter had listened to the men in the boat, he probably would have never got out of the boat. "Peter, what do you think you're doing stepping out on that water? Nobody's ever walked on water before. Why, you'll drown. And there's a storm. You can't do it, Peter." But I don't know if they told him that or not. If they did, he didn't listen, so he got out and started walking on the water. Because Jesus told him to come, and he had the Lord's own word on it. And when Jesus gives you the green light, go. We can do everything we ought to do. We forget who lives in us. Not only are we in Him, that's security, But He's in us. And you want to tell me that there's nothing you can't do when Jesus Christ lives in you? Friend, there's nothing that you can't do. There's no excuse for our spiritual weakness and failure. We have Jesus Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the grace of God. We have the whole Bible. Those Old Testament Christians didn't have the whole Bible like we do. David said, "Oh, how I rejoice at Thy Word." And he didn't even have probably half the Bible. What if he'd had the whole Bible? Here we are, New Testament Christians, with the whole Bible, the grace of God, the armor of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ in us. We shouldn't be a football for the devil to kick around, I'll tell you that. If you're a puppet on the devil's string, it's your fault. This lady said, "Preacher, the devil's been riding my back all week." He said, "Take the saddle off, ma'am." That's right. He can't make you do nothing. You don't belong to him anymore. He's an old employer. You can say no. What did Paul say? "I can do all things." What does all things mean? Does that mean that I can be a good Christian? Well, I think so. I can do all things. Does that mean I can read my Bible every day and pray like I should and be a good church member and come when the doors are open? When I can be here? Sounds like that come under all things, don't you? You think so? I can do all things. What's the devil telling you you can't do? He'll say, "Well, okay, you're saved, you can go to church, but you can't afford to pay your tithes." Well, I believe that come under all things, don't you? And by the way, you can't afford not to. That's free. You can't afford not to. All things. I believe that would include being a good witness, being a good example, training your children right, having a Christian home, being a good soldier in the Lord's army. Paul said, "I can do some things. Almost all things." He said, "I can do all things." If you don't like that, you take it up with the author. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." William Carey felt the call to go to the mission field. Those men on the missions board said, "No, too dangerous, cost too much, too far away. You never learn their language, you might get killed, and besides, God don't want you to go anyway." The average person would have said, "I don't believe I can go in." But he went anyway. And the work continues today. And he translated the Bible into their language, preached the gospel, and through him and those that followed him, millions have been reached for Christ because he said, "I can." Not, "I can't do it." Are you a man or a mouse? A lot of Christians, I'm talking about people who've been saved for 30 years, still ain't got enough strength to stand on their own two feet and say, "I can." Some people need to get their head out of the sand. Why do we not accomplish more? Well, sometimes we're just satisfied with our past accomplishments. We're just resting on our lees. We're at ease in Zion. Sometimes we just don't have the burden. We've lost the zeal. We've lost the desire. We've lost the vision. And when there's no vision, the people perish. We're just too busy these days. Oh my. We've got more time saving devices and less time than any generation's ever had. Well, my grandpa used to go to Charlotte and back selling apples, and it was a week. It took him a week to peddle his apples, get down there and come back. Now, we think we've got to be to Charlotte and back in at least 3 hours, maybe 2.5. But, as slow as it was back then, people still had time to know their neighbors, come to church. We're just too busy these days. I'm just saying tonight we can do all things through Christ. We can if we but will. If it, we'll just make it a priority. What could we do? That's a question that's plagued me for a long time. What could we do? I can tell you of a little church tonight that has reached hundreds of thousands of people. It doesn't take a great multitude. It just takes some people that sold out. Why, God can do amazing things with one person. Just one person. That Admiral Perry that wanted to go to the North Pole, he failed. He kept trying to go back. He failed. 10 years, he never made it. 20 years, he never made it. He just kept trying because he believed that he could. The Eskimo said to him, "You're like the sun. You just keep coming back." It took that fellow almost 25 years. But he finally reached the North Pole because he just did not know what "I can't" means. He just wouldn't accept that. And I wonder what you could do and I could do and what we could do as families, what we could do as churches if we just say, by God's grace, we're not going to give up. Our marching orders have not changed. If you are wondering what the Lord wants you to do, go home and read Matthew 28, the last three verses. There's enough work there to keep us all busy till Jesus comes, making sure everybody in this whole wide earth has heard the gospel. Does everybody you know, have they heard the gospel? Well, get busy. Amen. Maybe you need to give them a Bible. Maybe you need to pray for them. Maybe you need to pray with them. Maybe you need to take somebody to them and let them hear their testimony. Maybe you need to get them in church. Say, "Come with me to church. I'll pick you up. And after church, you can come home with me and you can eat dinner with me." Why do we not think like that? Why is it just "my four and no more"? Why do we think that we're... Why don't... God did not make us just to live in ourselves. A man that's wrapped up in himself is a mighty small package. And Jesus Christ was not joking when he said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Whose job do we think that is? The government? That's your job. That's my job. We can do God's will. No Christian has to be a failure or a defeat. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Who are we afraid of? The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. You shouldn't be afraid of anybody or anything. If God's on your side, there should be no fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. We should not be afraid. I know we're all going to fail at times, but at least let us try. Let us try. That's what I say in closing. You may fail, but at least you can try. I heard a fellow say the other day, he's going back to Africa. He said, "I may not win everybody in Africa to the Lord, but I'm going to try." You may not lead everybody to the Lord on your street, but why don't you try? You may not memorize great portions of the Bible, but could you try? Could you try? It's wrong to settle down and just quit. Not wanting to do anymore or be anymore or learn anymore. We should never be satisfied with our Christian lives. Never. We should always be striving for excellence in Christ's likeness and a better character and a better example. How many people have been a blessing to you today? And how many people have you been a blessing to today? How many people will pillow their heads tonight and thank God for you? I can understand the world being selfish, cold, cowardly, critical, but not Christians. No, sir. That's not what a Christian is. do more than just think about it. Let your purpose leap in the flame, and as you go with the cry, I shall do or die for the honor of the Savior's name. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to do my level best, whatever it costs me. We ought to be easy to start and hard to stop. Anything that stops you is bigger than you are. Remember that. And it's still in the Bible that we should all present our bodies to the Lord a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. Every day of our lives ought to begin like this. Lord, what do You want me to do? Lord, I'm Yours. I belong to You. You bought me with Your blood. Lord, what do You want me to do today with my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears? Lord, what would You have me to do? That's our reasonable service. God's not asking something unreasonable. Just reasonable. And I'd like to ask you this final question. Is there not a cause? Is our work not far from done? Is everybody in this world saved? Far from it. Is there not sick people everywhere that need a word of encouragement? Is there not backsliders everywhere that need your handshake and smile and love? Is there not little boys and girls everywhere that need a Christian example? Is there, I don't know about you, but every direction I look, there's things to do. Make yourself available. God's not asking you to be super talented or great, greatly intellectual. He's just asking you to give Him your availability. The power is of Him anyway. That's the only way to live. We don't die in the wilderness like these 10 spies that didn't have enough faith to believe God. And poor old Joshua and Caleb had to follow them backsliders around for 40 years. But you know what? After all them fellas died, Joshua and Caleb went in. Caleb was 85 years old. And he said, Joshua, give me that mountain right there. But there's giants there. Well, I know, but I'm feeling pretty good today. God said He'd give it to me. And 85 years. You're never so old that you should quit. You know that? Because if you quit, somebody else will quit. And Caleb possessed that land. I don't know what the Lord might be speaking to you about tonight. I think it's a great joy and honor to represent Jesus Christ in this world, don't you? I mean, He couldn't be here, so you're here in His stead. That's what an ambassador is. It's a tall order to be a Christian. God help us to do a good job. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We must. Let's stand together, please. Let's stand for prayer. We're going to pray and have an invitation. I thank you for your attention. We're not going to tarry, but we want to have a time of invitation. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, surely this passage tonight was written down for our warning, for our admonition. Help us, Lord, to know that Your promises are true. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, deal with them, convict them and draw them to Yourself. If there's any out of Your will, may this be the glad hour when they come back and surrender and get back in the fight. Thank You for this church. Thank You for all that You've done. But I know, Lord, that that's just a pledge and promise of greater and better things in the days ahead. Take our availability. Take our heart. Take us. Use us. Let us be usable. Let us be a help and not a hindrance. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You mind the Lord as we sing tonight, brother.
Number 156, Trust in the Day.
reading in Nehemiah the other day where they were starting to build the city walls, and a group of them came to Nehemiah and said, "We can't do it." In chapter 4, they said, "We are not able to build this wall." And Nehemiah said, "You're right, we can't do it. Let's all go home." That's not what happened. He said, "Just wait a minute here." He said, "I know you're tired. And there's a lot of rubbish. And if you ever built city walls or had anything to do like it, I'm sure you realize it's a big undertaking, especially 2,500 years ago." But he rallied those men. They were very discouraged. They had so many enemies. The heathen were determined to wipe them out. But Nehemiah never said, "We can't." There was a time he had to put a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Building and the battling, that's what every Christian's doing. But they finished that wall in less than 2 months. They were able. They just didn't think they could. You know, God might ask you to do something sometime you just don't think you can do. Well, with His help, you can. This man one time was asked to be the director of a children's home. He went into the pastor of the church and he said, "I just don't believe I can do it by myself." And the pastor said, "Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. That means you have to trust in God, won't you?" And the man said, "Yes." And he became the director, and as far as I know, still there. I've been there a long time. We can't do much in ourselves, and we need to know that and admit that. But through Christ, there's nothing we can't do. Remember that. Don't be defeated. Live in victory. I'm not talking about health and wealth and all that. I'm talking about obedience to Christ, love to Christ, commitment to His will. That's the highest plane of living possible. Don't deny yourself. It's been a blessing to be here. Hope you have a good rest of the week. Pray one for another. Brother Ned, anything to say? Okay. Brother Jimmy, good to see you. Would you dismiss the service? Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for the message of your word tonight, and thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, help us always to make ourselves available for the service, Lord, no matter what you have us to do. God, help us do.